Hello, welcome back to another episode of Take Me There,
a podcast about travel.
I am Andrew Ford.
I'm Alexandra Ford.
And we are talking to our friend Amos Vernon today.
Mm-hmm.
Great episode. He talks about his trip to Tuscany and Switzerland and southern Germany. A trip he took with family for some of it, or for all of it, I guess.
Yeah. But there's like some road trip.
Some extended family, some road tripping.
Yeah.
A ghastly injury.
Yeah,
a
trip to a German urgent care. This episode has it all. Amos is a very talented screenwriter and performer and rock climber and sourdough bread baker.
Uh-huh.
You can check him out on Instagram at Amos Vernon, AMOSVERNON.
Yep. That's how you spell.
That's how you spell it. And we're gonna. He has so many good recs in this episode, so you can find all of those at our website, takemetherepod.com.
Yes. This seemed like a great two-week European
I mean, a
vacation.
Lot of things to pick in, like if you're planning a trip to this part of the world.
Yeah.
Great recs.
But,
and
lovely.
Some great airport recs.
Oh, yeah. Good airport recs. Good what to eat at the North Carolina Durham Airport.
I know. I got to find the name of that place.
Yeah. We get specific in a very good way in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
So enjoy. Have a great day. And as always, be kind to animals.
What are you doing?
It's just a new thing I'm trying of giving people general advice at the end of the intro.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Take me there with Amos Vernon. So wait, you want to talk Tuscany, Italy?
Well, Tuscany. You just went on this trip.
Yeah, I just went on this trip.
Okay.
Yeah.
I went to Tuscany.
Mm-hmm.
And then Switzerland.
Gorgeous.
And then Germany.
Wait, where in Germany?
Outside of Munich. So okay. A rural... It was an interesting trip where I was with Germans.
Uh-huh.
Or most of the trip, we didn't do much sightseeing, really. It was going to small places and just existing there for a week.
Were you with family?
Yeah. Okay. So I was with... Have we started? Are we in?
Yeah, we're in.
Well, we usually just roll into it at some point.
Great. I was with my brother, his wife, who's German, but they live in the U.S.
Older brother, younger brother?
Older brother.
Okay.
For part of the trip, met up with my dad and stepmom.
Cool.
And also my sister-in-law's German parents. So the first part of the trip in Tuscany was a like mishmash of people.
Okay.
And then my brother, sister-in-law, and I split off for the second half to go to Switzerland in Germany, but in Germany we stayed at her parents' house in a small town called Miering, which is like teeny. Maybe I think it's 20 minutes outside of Augsburg and 45 minutes outside
this
of
this is very
Munich.
Close to where my German family is from.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. The Black Forest.
They're all Black Forest Germans who I don't know exactly where, but I know they're like southwest of
they
Munich.
Were Bavaria.
Yes, very Bavarian. And then we don't really have any traditions carried down from them. I know almost nothing about them, but I know they existed.
Find your roots. Maybe
Well, we'll see how this goes. Yeah. I want to hear about Germany because I really have not, outside of Berlin, I've heard almost nothing about Germany. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know anyone who's gone.
Well, you watched the Anthony Bourdain about Cologne.
Oh, yes. Cologne seemed cool.
Yeah, we didn't go, but it's the tall cathedral.
It's like he did one about Cologne and Dusseldorf, which are like neighboring cities.
Mm. But very different.
But very different from one another.
Mm. Yeah.
Because of whatever weird.
So much beer.
Yeah. But that looked good. That sounded great.
Yeah.
Okay, let's.
Well, let's start. You're still in America.
Yeah.
You decided to go on this trip.
How did this trip come about?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess what appealed to you about going on this trip?
The trip came about. I got an email from, I believe it was my brother, pretty much saying he and his wife were going that a trip was brewing with that. I think it actually maybe started with my dad and stepmom being in contact with my brother's in-laws because they became friends at my brother's wedding
That's
a few
so
years ago.
Cute.
That is really nice.
And they were like, oh, we've always wanted to come to Germany or to Europe to visit. And my brother's in-laws said, oh, yes, we go to this place in Italy. Because, you know, in Europe, it's just like, oh, a summer trip. They just drive down to
it's
Italy.
It's like going to Florida.
Not, Italy, famously the Florida of Europe.
It's a funny shape, like Florida.
Same quality food.
Yeah. Italian man, you know, fucks crocodile. Or some kind of classic headline.
Probably,
So They said they were going. That's right. My dad emailed me saying they were going and my brother's going to be there. And like, if I bought a plane ticket, I'm welcome to come. That's so it was very, I was a fifth, third, seventh wheel for the whole trip.
Okay.
Which was great. So pretty much it was a buy a plane ticket, show up and do nothing else kind of trip for me.
Right.
That's fun.
So I bought a plane ticket and up until the day I left, I couldn't tell anyone where I was going, or I was I had done so little research.
Okay.
I just knew that I was meeting them at the, you know, in Rome.
Right. Yeah.
And then we were going somewhere in Tuscany.
Is that usually how you like to travel? Like you'll just buy the ticket and be like, we'll figure it out when we get there. Or do you like to plan a lot?
This one in particular, I was really embracing that. Just cause I really needed to like shut my brain off I was looking forward to going. And it was going to be a slow trip. We did not have a checklist of things to do. It was very much like go to one place and it be there for a week. And you can do stuff with the group. You can read a book all day kind of trip.
Yeah. I love that, though, because I feel like the people assume the options are like either have your brain on, go somewhere like a city or a very populated, busy country. Or it's like, I'll go to an island and then I can turn my brain off. But the third, the hack, which you did and I think is the best one, is let someone else do it all.
Yes, exactly.
Let someone else do everything.
But also, there was no one really making a checklist. All I knew was that we had a place to stay in Tuscany for 6 days or 6 nights. And then I knew my brother and his wife and I were going to drive north to Germany. And at some point, if we had time, hang out in Switzerland for a couple days because we wanted to go rock climbing.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Wait, you're a very skilled rock climber.
Great rock climber. Oh, wow. What's your V level right now?
My V level? You know, in the gym, I'm pushing like eights.
Hell yeah.
Whoa,
eight's good. Eight's really good.
Whoa.
I don't know much about climbing, but I know eight's good.
Eight's.
Had you been to any of these countries before?
Yes. When I was 19, I did the most by the book 19-year-old backpack through Europe trip with one of my best friends. And then that trip was about checking boxes. That was like, how many places can we set our eyes on? Mm-hmm. And every place we went, it was like, how many famous things can we see? We went to the Louvre and literally our goal was to set eyes on every piece of art as quick as we could. So we, like, it was like, we drew, it was sort of like a map of the most efficient way where we could, in theory, have seen everything. And we did, like, the entire Louvre in 2 hours, just, like, swiping our eyes past, you know, irreplaceable works of art. And that sort of sums up the whole attitude of the show. It's a little embarrassing. We did, like, 8 countries, rode the train everywhere.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, that Euro train pass or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that feels like most people I know who have gone to Europe did that as their first Europe
trip. Was great. I mean, it was great as a 19-year-old.
Sure, yeah.
I wouldn't do that now. But it, you know, it took a little pressure off. I didn't really have to go see things.
Yes, right. Yeah.
Which I think is so liberating when you're like, I'm just going to go and be in this place and enjoy it.
Yes.
And I don't have to do anything that's in the guidebook or on the Instagram whatever.
That's like a big thing we learned at like very quickly when traveling together, but also just like we try to push on this podcast. It's just like, really do not do anything you don't want to do.
Oh,
we talk about this. It's such a red flag if someone's like, you have to do this. Mm-hmm. Because I'm like, I don't know, man. Where'd you hear that? Did you just hear that? And that's why you did it?
Yeah.
Or is this an independent assessment? Mm. Anyway, I can't trust anyone. Everyone's a liar. Everyone's a cheat.
You might have to take this up with your therapist. Yeah. Sometimes recommendations are
good. No, once you find trusted people.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
But we would always like run into people when we were like, oh, we're going to Southeast Asia for our honeymoon. And people would be like, who we don't know that well, would be like, you have to do this extremely famous thing.
Mm.
And it's like, I don't know if I do. I don't know if I need to go,
well,
like,
crawl around. Because the one extremely famous thing we did sucked.
Yeah. But also, like, people were like, you could go, like, crawl around in the Viet Cong tunnels. And I was like, that's of no interest to me.
Yeah.
But yes, I love saying no to that shit.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're about to go. What's, like, your travel vibe? Like, who are you at the airport? Mm-hmm. Who are you on the plane?
My travel vibe, I'm very much a... I wait a little too late to pack, but I generally accidentally overpack.
Okay.
Because I have this inflated idea of how many pairs of pants I'm going to need on any given trip. And the answer is two. For any trip, you need two pairs. For any length.
Hot tip. Hot okay.
Any length. Two pairs is enough. Maybe three if you could move there.
Sure.
But I packed like seven.
Okay. Yeah.
So I my bag was way too big, but I was very prepared. I'm paranoid about missing flights, so I get to the airport for an international flight. I was there like 2.5 hours early.
Hell yeah. You know I'm all about this.
I'm all about for a domestic hour and a half at least, but honestly by myself I'll get there 2 hours early.
When you're there early, are you like,
oh my God.
This is my recent thing has been rolling up to a bar and getting a beer. I never used to drink when I went to airports, but A, it helps you fall asleep on the plane,
mm-hmm.
and B, it's a great place to be quiet and like not be in the hubbub of the airport.
That's a pro sure. tip.
So even if you're going to drink fucking Coca-Cola, I still think going into a yeah. restaurant and a bar is a great option.
When I travel alone, I definitely have a little treat myself vibe in the airport.
Mm-hmm. I do like that.
Because when I'm with other people, I get a little, I'm self-conscious to be like, do you want to arrive 2 hours early? Because I don't want them to think I'm lame.
Yeah.
I'll take that up with my therapist.
Yes.
It's not lame to be early. For me, it's like, I just don't want to spend any more time in the airport than I have to.
Yeah.
Sure.
Being there.
But you have to spend some amount of time.
Sure.
So like, why? I'd say I'd rather embrace it. I'd rather be like, I'm airport Andrew now. You know what I mean? Yes.
I mean, only now get that a 20 we minute have the massage. Credit card that allows us to live hashtag lounge life.
Oh, do yeah. Wow. You did get a credit card. That,
oh, wow.
Chase which Sapphire I, preferred if they would like to sponsor the podcast.
No, but and there's lots that like you can get into lounges or it'll give you like a day pass to a lounge. And that has been revolutionary.
Yeah.
Where wow. you get to like pop I've out. Never. A lot of them have free alcohol and like quiet places. Some of them have like showers or like right. day beds.
You I would can... say part of the appeal now of getting there early is I just want to see what they got.
What yeah, I want to see what that lounge is like. Yeah.
Yeah. Because when we were in Asia, it was like noodle bar. It was like so many
It was unreal.
Snacks.
And then you'll get to like the ones at LAX and it'll be like just bananas yeah. and like that, old coffee.
What was the one that we went to at LAX that was nice here? Was it JAL?
No, but that wasn't LAX. That wasn't. We went to the Alaska Lounge at LAX. That lounge is not that nice.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you like to get early.
I like to be there early.
What are you treating yourself
when
to?
When I'm there by myself, I've been known to, you know, grab a Jamba Juice smoothie,
yep.
which I rarely do outside of airports.
Yep.
Sure.
You know, sometimes I'll splurge on some like Annie's pretzel or a Wetzel's pretzel.
Oh wow!
Like
airport pretzel.
Yeah. That's really if I'm short on time. I do, with enough time, kind of really enjoy getting a meal somewhere.
Yeah.
Because most airports now have like a decent
options.
You know, restaurant.
What's like
somewhere.
Your favorite airport meal you've ever had?
Wow. Favorite airport meal.
I'll give him a second and I'll say mine.
Yes.
But if you go to the Dallas airport, you can get full on like great Texas barbecue in that airport and the Austin one. There's a Salt Lick in the Austin one.
There is a Salt Lick in the Austin airport.
And it's like, if you just want to like fit in one more brisket sandwich, it's incredible.
The Austin airport, I would say, is exceptional for food.
Yeah, they have great food at the Austin airport.
I don't remember what I got.
Damn.
Maybe Whataburger? No, that's not it. But I had a great meal at the Austin airport as well.
But the best meal I had definitely had, all the best meals I've had in airports besides that were when we were in Asia. 100%. Mm. They were all like, because they really just... You know what's an easy thing to do well is like staple soups and stews, and they all have something like that, and it was great.
Mm-hmm. I would an airport meal I get fairly regularly is at the Raleigh-Durham Airport in North Carolina. They have a lovely new renovated airport, but they have a good, just a really quality North Carolina barbecue. Like I don't even know what it's called. It's some off airport brand.
We can
brand.
Google it.
Yeah. But I have, I usually get some form of, if it's during the day, barbecue sandwich. If it's in the morning, I will get myself some biscuit or variety of biscuit there. Mm. And it's always enjoyable.
You know what? I will also shout out the Boar's Head at Terminal 5. And they're like, not in all the restaurants.
Which is a bit of a wasteland of food, besides a Jamba Juice.
Well, they're just kind of all like generic vibes of restaurants.
Well, it's like a Dunkin' Donuts and then a bunch of generic restaurants. Though, you say yours and then I'll give my Terminal 5
Well,
rank,
I was saying Boar's Head for a breakfast sandwich. They'll do like a bacon, egg, and cheese on a Kaiser roll that's just as good as if you were getting it at a deli.
Yeah.
So,
I usually go, it's not open for breakfast, but if you're there for lunch or dinner, there's a panini and wine bar all the way at the end of Terminal 5 JFK, like,
do you remember
all
if you're rocking
way.
In if it's to the left or
it's
to the
left?
Terminal 5, is that okay. the JetBlue one?
That's yeah. the JetBlue one, because we always end up flying JetBlue.
They have a Jamba Juice.
Yeah,
well, yes.
I've been to that very Jamba Juice.
But yes, if you go all the way to the end, there's an actual Italian man who's making paninis at the end there, and they're really fucking good.
Wow, he didn't even work there.
No, he like got behind the counter, and he was just like, well, please, let me do it.
Yeah, out of my way,
Italian man. Okay, so airport, you're grabbing some food, you're getting there early, you're jumping on this plane, you're flying, I assume, economy?
Yeah. For going to Italy?
Yeah. So are you an aisle man? You a window man?
I used to be a diehard window man, and I've switched to aisle man.
Yeah, wow. Same. I feel like that switch happens as you get older.
I think it's because... window man, there's no wonder left for me in life. I've seen the earth from above. That used to be the thrill. And now it's more important to me to not have to bother someone when I have to pee.
Agree.
Yeah.
Hard agree. We really like to sit across the aisle from each other.
Oh, yes. Interesting.
If we're on a trip to on a flight together, it's aisles opposite each other.
I don't need to snuggle. I can wave at you as well.
No, thank you. Yeah. Even.
Ooh, that's fun.
Yeah.
But I also hate that having to be like, hey, my kid.
I don't want to do it.
Because no, I think we mentioned this. I think you can get up one time, and more than that, if you're window man,
you're a jerk.
People are like pissed at you. Even if it's like an 8-hour
flight. Which
is insane.
Yeah. But it's just the vibe.
My rule is generally, I find it acceptable if I get up once every 2 hours. Unless it's an overnight. Then I try not to get up. Mm-hmm. But if it's every 2 hours, you watched your whole movie. Now let me get up.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So you land in where? Rome?
Land in Rome, but had a connection through Ireland. It was Aer Lingus.
Well, shout out to Aer Lingus. I've never flown Aer Lingus.
Yeah, nor had I. It was.
Did they have a fun like safety video?
Oh, they had the shittiest safety video I've seen in years. Actually, I remember this because every safety video has stepped up their game so much.
Yeah.
Right.
They utterly missed the memo or did not care to the point where I thought, oh, maybe this is like a fun, ironic, bad one.
Oh,
like
wow.
Bad green screen. Whoa. They green screened the inside of a plane.
Cool.
To
that's
shoot
so
it.
Funny.
Or to be like, you have that location.
Yeah.
You have access to that.
It's fully available.
Yeah. It was real trash. But it was not funny. It was unaware. But I guess whatever.
Yeah.
It's Ireland. Weird dig at Ireland. But then landed in Rome, and then I had I misunderstood the day that I was meeting my dad and stepmom in Rome, and I thought it was going to be the day I arrived. Turns out it was the next day because I just didn't think of the overnight flight. It was great, so I had a day in Rome on my own.
Wow. Nice. What'd you do?
I did a long walking tour. I mean, not cool. A tour, but Rome. I did just sort of see the
audio
the
tour.
Nice. No, just looked up like the big seven things to
see.
They're
all kind of close together.
Yeah. It's it's like a 6-hour loop. Saw the Colosseum, saw the Forum. Didn't pay to get into any of these things because the lines were very long. If I go back to Rome, I think I would book a ticket ahead of time to maybe go to the Forum because that looked
Colosseum sucks. Let me tell you.
There you go.
It's
from the
so
outside,
boring.
It looks awesome.
It's
but
great
I don't
outside.
Go. Exactly.
You don't need to go in.
Yeah.
Because on the inside, it's all run down. It's just like literally a pile of bricks.
And I stayed at a hostel.
Oh.
Turns out, I mean, it was a lovely, nice hostel, but I felt old.
Oh.
They were like 22-year-olds there to party.
They were past Amos. They were Amos.
Yeah.
On the train route.
Yeah, exactly. And they, there was like a hostel bar that I went down to. I was like, maybe I'll like meet some people.
Yeah.
Didn't even order a drink. I went in. Wow. It felt like a college party. And I just felt lame. And I was like, I'm going to go walk and get a nice dinner by myself and then go to bed.
Was it like a mama shelter or one of those?
It was called, I don't remember.
It's okay.
Yellow Hostel or something. Yellow it was hostel. Very hip.
Yes,
like,
there are so many
like
hip hostels.
It looked so fun. If I were young, I would. I mean, it was like it was cheap. It was great.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It was just and then walked around in Rome a bunch.
Did you eat well?
I ate. Yes, with an asterisk. I was a little overwhelmed in Rome. I was like, oh, I'll just walk into any restaurant. But I think I winged it a touch too much because I was so overwhelmed with Italy fresh off the plane that I could not yet discern what was shit and what was not.
Right.
Sure.
Because it's, I mean, it's a lot of good food, but like there still is some not special stuff.
Right.
You know, geared towards me, tourists who like don't know better.
Right. Yeah.
And I went to one of those that was like, this is a good bowl of pasta, but I could have made it. And then I met someone in my hostel who had like studied abroad there and recommended this off the beaten path pizza place you got to know about.
Uh-huh.
And I went there with like two people sort of my age, and it was great.
Do you remember the name?
I don't, but I can get it for you. Okay, I get it for you.
We'll put it. We'll throw it in those show notes.
I'm gonna write it down. Yeah. And follow up.
It was way good.
Yeah. Awesome.
It was by Mussolini's House.
Okay. Cool.
Which is a tourist destination that is not a. It's kind of like a. They don't advertise it as Mussolini's House.
Oh.
It's now a public park. But it's near wherever that is.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool to be like, yeah, Mussolini was there, but they're not. Like, yay, yeah. Mussolini.
What's right. the style of pizza in Rome? Is it like, because there's a Roman style pizza place here in LA, Triple Beam. I don't know if you've ever been there, but Roman style Rome. Pizza. Was it like that, or was it like Neapolitan
this
style?
This is sort of Neapolitan yeah. style. It was a little, I would say, the crust was thinner than I'm used to, but not just thin crust, like the literal, even the crust around the edge didn't have that big poof
up.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
So it was more towards a crispy slice, okay. a little.
I love a crispy
But in a really
slice.
Good way, not in like a this is cheap and bad dough, bad crust.
Uh-huh. Right, because you know dough.
Because I've had that. Oh, I know dough.
Amos is a incredible huge baker.
Bread baker.
He's a baker boy.
A
baker.
Giant.
A star baker, if you will.
Yeah.
Famous yeah. for wow. baking.
So you, yeah. you kill a day in Rome.
Kill a day in Rome was great.
Did you like, I've heard Rome is very touristy, obviously.
Yes. It's
very dirty.
Yes.
Is this accurate?
I think so. I'm hesitant to just like write off. Yeah, because I don't want to. I was there for
yeah,
a day.
The whole city with one.
I didn't
brush,
feel the need to be there any longer.
Mm.
Like
yeah.
I thought it was fun to have a day there because it's very walkable and you can you know see some like 3,000-year-old shit on foot and you can see it all.
Right.
But I felt like for me to be there longer, I would have needed to know someone who's been there
right.
or knows the place who can get me out of the like chaotic hellhole that is the middle of Rome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think for those like big European cities, even Paris, I mean, Paris is its own animal, but I really feel like you need someone to give you context, whether that's a
yes.
guide, whether that's a friend.
Yeah. Even just the sake of like, oh, if you go like definitely stay in these neighborhoods.
Yeah.
yeah.
I didn't even
Cause that. That's such a, like a first step thing that'll change yeah. your experience.
Which is just why like, I will shout out again, Airbnb experiences. I think if you don't have a friend in a city.
Oh, interesting.
Oh yeah. We did learn this.
Yeah. Like we've done a couple of them now. And I think if you.
They're relatively new though.
Yeah.
Like they've only had them for about a year.
I mean, read reviews, do like your research.
Yeah. But if you find like a good host of an Airbnb experience, you can find someone to do like
yeah.
a walking tour or a food tour. And then we would just be like, what are the good
what
places to
do?
Go? Like, where do we walk around? Like, what neighborhoods do you, where do you live? Like
yeah.
those kind of things.
Mm-hmm. Cause most people who are hosting them are like our age.
They're usually
like excited to.
So
yeah.
excited.
Cause like,
yeah.
I'm sure there are people that like charge a lot, but most ones we did, they did not charge very much. Mm. And it was much. And it was more like, oh, we like showing off
mm-hmm.
like where we're from and like our like friends who are chefs and have stalls or restaurants or
yeah.
whatever. We like shouting them out.
All the ones we've done
out.
Were very food focused. The one
That's
we did
true.
In Bangkok was a floating market tour with this girl. And she was like, yeah, I work at it. I do IT at a huge telecom company most of the time. And then on the weekends, I take people to the floating market that I've gone to since I was a kid.
Cool.
Yeah.
And she was
it was
so
great.
Cool.
She picked
so
us
nice.
Up in her car.
Yeah.
It was just like.
And it was like maybe 8 of us.
Yeah. It's like someone who you're paying to be your friend, but also wants to be your friend.
Yeah. They want something to do.
Yeah. It's great.
Yeah.
Cool.
So
Rome.
Yeah. Rome.
Your fam gets there.
Rendezvoused with dad, stepmom, hopped in a rental car and drove to Tuscany.
Wow.
The drive was beautiful. It's all looks like a postcard.
Mm-hmm.
It's very
sunflower fields.
Yes. The poppies were blooming.
Mm.
So there were like speckles of red everywhere, lots of vineyards, lots of olive trees, cypress trees. It was really pretty.
Gorgeous.
That's great. So Tuscany, that's a whole region.
Whole region. It's a big ass regions.
Do you remember where, what town you were?
So we weren't in a town. We were in, on a farm called, so there's an agroturismo like thing there where pretty much they're farms that have cottages or places to stay. And there's a lot of like the slow food kind of stuff.
Cool.
So we stayed at this place called Tesserino is what the farm was called. And the closest town was this town called Massa Marittima. Which was an, you know, it was founded by the Etruscans and,
of course,
you know, year 1000 BC or something.
Yeah.
You know, it was one of those insane hilltop towns with windy little streets. And it, you know, looks like Assassin's Creed or, you know, Dorne, Game of Thrones style.
Love it.
And so, yeah, got there, met up with my brother, sister-in-law, sister-in-law's parents who are German. And we all had our own little cottage.
Oh, my God. That's so beautiful.
What's this farm like? Like, what's there? What are they growing? What are they doing?
Olives, grapes. They made their own wine, made their own olive oil.
Yep.
And it was, we were speculating, like, gosh, I wonder if they sell their wine. Like, how much is the wine going to be? It's probably pretty pricey, but we should probably buy a bottle. And we go and we walk to their little shop where we see the wine that they make there. And we're bracing ourselves for like 40, 50 euros or something.
Sure.
And it was, I believe it was 6 euros.
Oh my God.
And it was from like 2014. It was nuts.
Yeah.
So we just, God, we drank so much wine.
That sounds so great.
Great.
Yeah.
Did they have like a little on site restaurant there too? Or
no. Well, they, no. So they, if you wanted to pay a little extra, you could have them like make breakfast, but we didn't even do that. We just, you know, went to the local market, bought some meats and cheeses, and made espresso.
Oh, did it have like a kitchenette?
Yeah.
Okay.
They were, yeah, it had a kitchen. Yeah, and so our days, there were some days where it was just reading, sitting in a little olive grove, eating and playing cards and going to bed. There were a couple of days just going to look, you know, the looking at a map, thinking, oh, what historic towns to go check out.
Mm-hmm.
We drove to Siena one day, which is sort of a big, you know, like a, what's the Renaissance type city.
It was a big tower and the horse race.
Yeah, it was. Yes, it was very pretty. It was a great day trip. That was cool. We drove to the coast one day, just walked around
the East Coast or West Coast?
West. We're near the West Coast. We saw this really cool, there's an outdoor sculpture garden called the Tarot Garden by, what's her name?
I'm checking that phone.
I'm going to check the phone. Something Disenfer. What's her name? God.
He's going to find it.
I got it. But it was a very, what's her name? Nikki de Saint-Fel.
Okay. Is it like a Storm garden. King? I don't know if you know Storm King.
Yeah, similar, more condensed. Just go Google it. Google the Tarot Garden.
Okay,
if
cool.
you're in Tuscany, I think it's worth checking out because I had never heard of it, and it's kind of like a weird thing to go see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is your, I guess you didn't have any plans, but is what's your focus if people are like, what do you want to do today? Is it food based or is it like,
for me, it's kind of
history or
food, I think, is the cornerstone of my day.
Great.
Yeah.
So I think, where's lunch, where's dinner? And then, one day it was just like, let's go to this little town and that's what we're going to do.
Right.
Like everyone bring, some people were bringing sketch pads. I brought a book. Ooh. Everyone had a little tat.
Wow.
Like, we're just going to go sit around in this town.
That sounds
Some
nice.
People wanted to go shopping. So I just brought a book and, we just knew we would eat lunch there. And that was our day.
How's
so
the
nice.
Language?
I mean, you gotta understand, you've never been to Italy.
Yeah.
So these little towns are...
I know.
Yeah, I know. You've never been. I'm letting
so
the listeners
old.
Know. They're so old, and they're so beautiful, and they're so small. Like, you could walk around in, like, 2 hours.
Yeah.
And that's the whole village.
Even less than that. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the language like in, like, the language barrier like in small town Tuscany?
You know, still, there's always... Every waiter, I feel like, speaks English.
Uh-huh.
I, okay. you know, tried some basic Italian. I speak some Spanish, and so I could sort of, you know, do it. But about halfway through the trip, I realized, like, every person was exhausted with me trying and would just rather come to me and speak English. But they were endeared that I tried.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
So Tuscany, for your whole week there.
A week. It was, I read a few books. It was just extreme relaxation and lots of wine.
So you would go back?
I would go back.
Would you go back to this exact place, or you're like, eh, I want to see something other different?
Parts of Tuscany. I mean, yeah, I probably would. This would be the type of trip where you're like, oh, I want to go to Hawaii, or it was a decompression type of place. There was also a pool there. It was just full decompression.
Man, yeah. Italy's, I've said this probably 5 times on this podcast already.
I think you say
Italy's
every episode.
My top, like, European destination for sure, and one of my top places to go in general next is, like, I've never been. Obviously, I'm a big carb boy.
Yeah.
Oh, I love to pig out on anything Italian. So it's just like, I got to get there. I got to get there.
And it's weird to even say that Italy is cliche, but it, you know, it's a famous destination for a reason. It's great.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful. It's so warm and it's so nice. The weather's nice. Yeah. Everyone's so sexy.
Oh my God. Jesus. Everyone's hot.
Everyone.
And like hot in the way that people were in the 70s. Yes. Like the men are not buff. They're just like, you could beat them in a fight, but man, they'd take your girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they're all smoking cigarettes.
It's not like when we went to the Netherlands and just, like, everyone was a blonde supermodel.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
It's not like that. When we were in the Netherlands, we saw, like, the hottest woman we've ever seen, and she was on the back of a garbage
truck. She was a garbage person.
She was like,
literally a person who works in sanitation.
Yes.
And it was like I thought it was a joke. Yeah.
Yeah. She was so beautiful.
Amazing.
So Italy, you wrap up Italy. The family separates.
The children go off.
It's so
we're
nice that you all get along.
Yeah. My family is deeply chill. We traveling together is not stressful. That was nice. Lovely. And then we split off, and the younger generation, we call ourselves the children, but you know, we're like in our 30s, hopped in a car and drove to Switzerland.
Stressful driving in Italy?
I wasn't, actually, I drove one day and I had a blast because we were in
your same side of the road on Italy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you go to those like cool little gas stations?
Oh my God. The gas station food.
Okay. Gas stations in Italy.
Wow.
It's so real.
Italy and Switzerland, the whole road trip, like I had, you know, a top 3 panini of my life from a gas station. Truly.
I'm telling you.
Couldn't believe it. It was absurd.
Yeah.
The gas station food.
Ugh,
You know, the gas is insanely expensive, but it makes up for it for the paninis.
Yeah. We had like a proper like ham and cheese sandwich lunch. I remember just being like, I can't believe this is a gas station.
Yeah. Really impressive gas station food. So we're driving, you know, get up to Switzerland. Switzerland also wildly beautiful. Just looks full, you know, Sound of Music. I know that's not Switzerland, but
so it's a lot of like cascading mountains and lakes and
yes, it's insane. And on every mount, the big Rocky Mountains turn into big, bright green meadows scattered with alpacas and cows, and all of them have little bells on their collars. And so
cute.
Everywhere you go, it's just like krunk krunk krunk.
Yes. That's so
I only know about this because recently, I think it was a rerun, but on This American Life, they played an episode about a woman who was not a Swiss citizen, and she lived in a town, and she's a big animal rights person, and she was trying to get them to, like, get rid of the cowbells.
Get rid of the cowbells?
Yeah. She was like, they're really noisy. The animals, they're really noisy for the animals. Like, the animals don't necessarily like wearing them.
Uh-huh.
And it was a story about immigration, essentially, but they were just like, in Switzerland, they vote on whether your community votes on whether to naturalize you. And they were like, no, get out.
Get out. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's so insane.
Yeah, it was really nuts.
Yeah.
It's a nuanced story.
Leave the bells
around.
You didn't touch any bells.
If you're like, they're driving the cows insane and it causes them pain, I'd still be like,
but
it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Did you stay in Switzerland?
Yeah, we stayed one night in Switzerland at, gosh, the coolest little mountain hotel that was all like organic-y and beautiful and made incredible meals, and I don't know the name of it.
Are you in like southern Switzerland, like on the border of Italy?
Oh man. Embarrassingly, I couldn't even tell you. This is how disengaged I was. Okay. We arrived and I got out of the car and was like, great.
Cool.
Somewhere in the middle. I could figure out where it is because we went, we found the hotel because it was near this famous bouldering destination called the Magic Wood. It's a rock climbing place that we went
to. What's the deal with the Magic Wood?
Incredible, world class granite bouldering.
Mm. What's the difference between bouldering and rock?
So it's a type of rock climbing. It's no ropes, but you put pads on the ground. So it's climbing lower, you know, like 10, 15 feet.
Okay.
The climbs are hard and short.
Have you traveled internationally before to go climbing? Was this? I know you've traveled in the U.S., but...
No. And this was a... I didn't do the trip to go here, but from the beginning, that was a plan.
So interesting. There are a lot of people who travel to do their sport.
I think I would
people
do
people who
I
go
would,
like
though.
Rock climbing or kayaking
scuba
or whatever.
Diving,
scuba diving for sure. And I was just like, that's so interesting. I've never done that to do that.
We'll have to get a guest on who has.
Yeah.
Well, Amos has.
I've done
He's
it.
He's here.
Yeah.
He's sitting
and
right
I think
here.
It actually.
Okay, go ahead. Anyway.
But it did. I think I do want, I would now do a rock climbing purpose or a trip with that. Solely in mind.
It's nice. It frames your trip in a different way. You might, especially with something like rock climbing or a lot of sports, you might go to a less populated area because it has that like sport you want to do. Mm-hmm. And you might hit up more small towns, more smaller regions. Mm-hmm. It's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
You're in the Magic Wood.
We're in the Magic Wood.
You're
We're
bouldering.
Climbing. We're bouldering.
Is this the kind of thing where it's like, are you bringing, this is going to sound so dumb,
gear.
Sticking things into the rocks
no.
so you can climb it? Okay.
No. So this is the only gear... You need our climbing shoes and climbing chalk, which is just this, you know, powder you put on your hands to dry you out. And bouldering, you also need crash pads, which are these like mattress looking things you hike in with and you put on the ground beneath where you fall. And that is
That's
just
so cute.
To like keep you from breaking an ankle.
Right.
But we rented those. We found like a little climb shop.
Oh, nice.
And went climbing and it was great. My brother had been there before. And so he's a big rock climber.
What's his V level?
Oof. He, you know, he's pushing 10.
Oh, wow. They get exponentially more difficult higher up.
Right. Well, he is older than Amos, so he's had a couple more
but
years.
I showed him how to climb, but then he moved to Boulder, Colorado and was there for a decade. So
a guy who lives in Boulder is good at
bouldering. I mean, so, yeah, we went climbing. I actually, day two, had a freak accident where I fell. Well, actually, I didn't even fall. I was just hopping off a rock, warming up, and my foot, I missed the pad, and it went to a hole, and a jagged rock, like, took a chunk out of my ankle.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
And
are you bleeding a lot?
Yeah, it was. And we didn't have a first aid kit because we're idiots, and it was the beginning of day two, and I was like, I don't want to leave. We came all the way here. Like, there's stuff I want to do. Fuck, I don't have anything to clean it. Let's just put athletic tape over it. And so I, like, put the chunk and flap back over it, dirt and everything in it, put tape over it. It was a dumb idea, but I would do it again.
Okay.
And then, you know, there was sort of, like, blood on my ankle. And we climbed the rest of the day. And I, you know, it was great, fun. And then we drove to Germany. And the next day we were like, let's walk around Munich. Show us all your favorite spots in Munich. And in the morning, my foot really hurt. Like, I was like, damn, it hurts. And we started walking around Munich. And about halfway through the day, I couldn't walk anymore. Like, I literally couldn't put weight on my foot.
Yeah.
Did you have to
I took the bandage off and it was all swollen up like a balloon. And I had to go to German.
That saves this shit.
Yeah. I had to go to German urgent care.
Okay.
How's
what is that
care?
Like? I've never had to go to
this
the
is
hospital
interesting.
Or anything in a foreign
so,
country.
So thank God I had sister-in-law, Francie, her name is Francisca, to translate.
Okay.
Because we went there and it was a little clinic in her town. And they kept wanting to x-ray my foot. And I was trying to be like, I definitely didn't twist or break my ankle. It's an infection. And I was having trouble explaining that, so I brought Francie in and she explained it because it was that like big and swollen. Whoa. I've got pics. I'll show you.
We'll put those up on the Instagram.
No, we won't. Yeah. I will spare everyone. But.
And so then they just like cleaned it and it was nasty. And then they gave me some antibiotics. And so I was on antibiotics for like 10 days.
Okay. Yeah, German antibiotics.
We've never had to go to a hospital.
Got kind of sick and we tried to go to a pharmacy in Vietnam.
Oh, and that didn't work.
And then we realized
Vietnam, at least in Vietnam, and I think in Singapore seemed to have like pharmacies, but like the idea of a place like Walgreens or something does not exist at all.
7-Eleven does.
Well, yeah, but not, it's just like they don't have over-the-counter medicine. That's like not so much a thing, at least anywhere we saw. So it was like, instead of Advil, do you want like a bunch of antibiotics? Like they would just like, they could prescribe a lot more drugs that you would have to normally go to a doctor for. Yeah. So that was weird. But I remember trying to like just feeling sick and being like, oh, I'll go get some cold medicine. And it was like, that's not a thing.
Yeah. Here. It was interesting. So at the clinic, the two interesting takeaways for me were at the clinic at the end. So I was all excited. So I'm like, yay, socialized medicine. It's going to be cheap. And it was, you know, it was like, I think maybe $100. So okay. It was still like,
bad.
Not bad, but
for
it was kind of like.
And the antibiotics.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we are, you know, I go to the front desk and they're like, okay, it's 102 euros. And I give them my card and they're like, what? This isn't America. And they tried to shame me for thinking that I could pay with a card at a hospital.
That's so
weird.
They
were cash only.
Cash only hospital. That's so weird.
It was crazy because I think they usually send you a bill.
Okay.
And. Yeah, so I had to go find an ATM and pay cash.
You should have just been like, yeah, send me a bill. I'll definitely pay it when I get it in the mail.
Wink. Yeah, like, bye.
Yeah, but it was they were kind of a little condescending to me in a way where I'm like, motherfucker, you got to catch up. It's 2019.
That's great.
Like, if you're a little mom and pop panini shop, yeah, sure. You can do that.
I don't know. But it sounds pretty unbelievable. Germans being condescending.
Can you believe it? Well, I was like,
I'm German. I can say it.
Yeah. Well, the fact that Germans were not like up to date in the most efficient way to do things.
Oh, that's right. True. Yeah.
It's like, come on. Yeah. That was an Italian thing to expect.
Yes.
Sure.
But then, yeah, so then they also gave me prescriptions for my antibiotics. Okay. And I also needed like some gauze and just shit to wrap it.
Right.
And so the pharmacy was closed. They have 24-hour pharmacies. How they work is not like a 24-hour place here. They're closed, but there's someone who lives above the pharmacy. And you call them. And they're like, come down. She may as well have had like a nightcap and a little candle.
Oh my God.
Like, hello. Came down, opens a little slider in the door and was like, handed the slip through and said, we were also like, yeah, we also would like some disinfectant of some kind. And she went and collected it all, paid through the little slot, and then went back to bed, I guess.
Wow. Wait, could you pay her with a credit card?
Yes.
Okay.
She wasn't like, that was with a credit card.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was a whole ordeal. And that actually put a big left turn in the trip because I couldn't
walk much
the rest of the trip. But we biked around this little German town a lot. Biking was okay.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah.
Huh.
Ate some traditional Bavarian food.
What was that like?
It was great. It was not what I expected. I mean, in Munich we had what I expected, which, you know, sausages and... sausages.
Yeah.
And pretzels. but we went to a Bavarian restaurant that was... it was some of what I expected, like schnitzel, which I think is... fried pork loin.
Yeah, it can be any can be meat, but it's usually pork.
Yeah,
it was hammered very thin. And
yeah,
then.
I mean, it was a lot of meat and potato kind of stuff, but not necessarily sausage and pretzel kind of stuff.
Sure.
Did you have any spätzle?
Yes. What is that?
Spätzle is, so there's only two German recipes
Honey,
that have been passed
off.
Down in
this
my family.
This is like the one thing you have.
So we call it Spätzle, which I'm told Southern Germans do call it that.
Uh-huh.
People can correct me. I have no idea if that's true, but that's what my mom told me. Mm-hmm. And but it's basically like an egg-heavy pasta dough, and you have this special grater. I have one where you pour the batter into it. I do have cut my hand on it several times, but you pour the batter to it, and you basically like it cuts off the, it's almost like when you make churros. Have you ever made churros? Where you have to like, you make the batter and it's kind of wet and then you like cut it. Snip, snip, snip. Or this machine does it. And it's like,
it's basically like a mandolin, but you're using dough instead of
anyway, vegetables. So it's just their pasta. It's like, they call it, most people call it spatzel, but it's just a pasta. So you get it with like butter or like different sauces or whatever.
We did have, and it's like little pasta chunks.
Yes. I'm a big fan of spatzel. Old,
it's very that was chunky. Great.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so that was, the end of Germany was kind of me sitting around a lot in my sister-in-law's parents' house.
Wow. What were the sites you were trying to see in Germany? Or if just you were trying to see this, like these more towns?
At that point, it was really like, I'm just going to be hanging out with my brother and his wife and her brother, who I've sort of become friends with because I've seen a few times just around, and he's German. And we probably would have gone rock climbing a couple more times because they all do that. And we were like, oh, it would be fun to do in Germany. I would have liked to have gone to spend another day in Munich.
Did you drink beer?
We did, but not as much as I would have liked.
Yeah.
So the Munich.
For those who don't know, Amos and I, which is everyone except like five people.
Yeah.
Amos and I like to brew beer together.
Like to brew beer. So. Like drinking beer. Yeah. So we went to a big beer garden in Munich, but then there was a thunderstorm.
Oh no.
And this was the day I couldn't walk. It was a comedy of errors. So we, we actually had to jog to get out of the lightning storm and we couldn't finish our beers. And, I was very embarrassed because I couldn't walk and I felt, I was embarrassed because I don't like complaining and like ruining the day.
Right.
And I was like, guys, this is truly excruciating. I've never felt something like this. You're going to have to hop and you might have to carry me. And I was relieved to take the bandage off and see how gross it looked.
Okay.
I was like, oh, thank God it is bad. I'm not like,
that is one aspect of group travel where you're like, I don't want to be the person.
You don't want to, because you don't want to, but I feel like some people find it as a release. You're like, hey, what, can we just chill for a couple days?
Yeah.
It's not, I don't know. Speak your mind. Do you?
We've only done group travel a couple of times. I mean, it's different with couple travel because then you can like close the door and be like, you were so annoying when we were doing that.
Oh, yes. But it's also like, we haven't done family. We've gone to places with family, but we've never traveled. At least, I mean, you have, like, with each other and going with family. And that would be, I don't know how that would be.
Well, we'll find out. We're trying to do a trip to Europe with my dad because he is European.
He's European. He speaks almost every language in Europe.
Well, speaks Russian and Hungarian and Polish.
And Ukrainian.
Whoa.
A little bit. That's and generous. Like,
but he speaks all those languages.
He calls himself a language barbarian.
Yes.
Ooh.
But he, like, those are all places where I'm like, I don't know what the English situation is in most of these countries. So I want to go with your dad so he can really like guide us around. And he grew up there. So he's got like all these like old memories to share and such.
Loves to share.
Oh, he loves to share his memories.
Yeah. And don't we all?
What was it like staying in like someone's house?
What's a German house like?
This house was in just so beautiful. Her parents are into art, and it looked like the most everything in its right place little German house.
So tidy.
Yeah, it was so tidy. Beautiful garden. They had a grill that they were like, we don't usually grill because we don't know, but you guys grill so much, you're American. And so my brother and I like made ribs for them one night, and they were blown away.
Really?
Blown away.
That's so
funny. We were
funny.
Giving them grill tips that were so obvious. Like, we also
turned it on.
Yeah, we grilled some vegetables, and we're like, you put some olive oil on it. You just keep an eye on them, turn them until they're done.
Yeah.
And they're like, this is amazing.
I love it.
Yeah, so that was fun. But it was, you know, by the end, I definitely felt like I was in someone's space a little bit, especially because I was just sitting on their couch a lot.
Right. Yeah.
But everyone's being nice and not trying to make anyone feel bad or weird.
Right.
But it was nice.
That's great.
That's awesome. So is there anywhere that you're like dying to go back to that you went to on your trip or explore deeper?
I think I would like to go back to Switzerland.
I really want to go there.
It was just so, we were there for such a short amount of time, but it was so pretty. I would like to spend some more time. Expensive though.
That's what I heard. Whereas, like, I've tried to move away from expensive destinations, and Switzerland feels like the most expensive destination.
Yeah. It is pricey, but so beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, it looks beautiful.
You wouldn't come, I guess, because you hate skiing. But I would love to do like an Alps. I'm skiing. Me and Amos are going skiing in the Alps.
I'll stay with Amos's dog and cat. And okay. Yeah, yeah,
perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm skiing with your wife.
Yeah. Perfect. Not weird at all. It's like a force majeure.
Well, I've said I'll go, but I'm not going skiing. I'd love to sit in a Swiss lodge and gain 20 pounds eating fondue. And like drink cognac and like eat fondue. That sounds like a dream come true. Yes.
I went to Switzerland when I was a little kid. Well, no, I was like 12. This was on that trip with my grandma and her best friend.
Oh, yes, yeah.
I went on this epic trip with my grandma and her best friend. It was after my grandfather died, and my grandma had always wanted to go to Europe and Italy, and so I went with her instead, basically with her best friend and her best friend's niece. And it was like, you guys be best friends now. Our listeners have heard the story already. But anyway, we stayed at this place called Hotel Principe Leopoldo, and it was so beautiful, and it had like a pool, and they gave you a little breakfast. And then I remember on our last day, a car hit one of the columns that held up the front of the hotel. So like the whole front of the hotel like fell off.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It was crazy, but wow. Switzerland was beautiful.
Yeah.
So you want to go back to Switzerland?
I want to go back to Switzerland. It's not. If I were to go back to somewhere on that trip, right. I would like to go.
Where
back
do
to
you want to go next?
Oh yeah,
in life.
Yeah. Are you going anywhere?
I don't currently have big. I'm going to North Carolina mountains. Yeah.
Delicious.
But I really would like to go to Japan. Mm. Kind of. I mean, based almost only on the fact that I love sushi. I mean,
good enough reason.
I know so little. I would need to do a lot of research. But I can picture myself doing a nice Japan trip, but someone would have to tell me what to do.
Okay.
And I really want to go to Mexico, probably Mexico City.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That might be the one I do next because it's close.
Yeah.
That's what the trip we're planning right now is for, not till January, but Mexico City is our next destination.
Yeah. Did you watch Taco Chronicles yet?
No.
On Netflix.
It's like Chef's Table. The only thing I don't like about it is that the narration is like from the first person of the taco.
Well, it's of the meat of the taco.
Right.
It's like, I am carnitas. I am barbacoa. It's like, hello. But
it's a little jarring, but so otherwise it's really
each episode is a different meat, and it's basically like the history of it and like how like real people who do it like the best, how like, they make it.
Yeah, I guess it's the filling because there are some vegetarian tacos that they talk
about. Well, then when they do like a guisado specific episode,
it's really cool. It'll make you want to go to Mexico. So
but it made me, because I do a lot of Instagram saving of locations on like how I plan. I'll like find a restaurant I want to go to on Instagram. I'll save it to a folder for that trip. And we have not even really started looking into Mexico City, and I have 30 taco places I already want to go to.
That I've pulled about from accurate.
Like, from various lists or like from those episodes or like whatever. Yes. But Mexico City seems cheap. The food is incredible. The history is crazy. Yeah. It's the biggest city in North America.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
It seems awesome. I'm so excited to go.
Yeah.
I'm very excited to go too.
Can I come with you guys?
Yeah.
Sure,
Come, Amos. It'd be fun.
Let's go skiing in Mexico.
Let's do all of it.
So those are yours. Are you, I guess, what's your travel philosophy or like general plan? Are you like a once a year person? You go on a big trip or you try? I mean, obviously, if we all had as much money as we wanted, we could go.
That's why we have the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I identify as someone who likes to travel, and I always say that and think that, but I don't travel much, and this Italy trip was the first big trip that wasn't linked to a wedding in probably 10 years.
Wow.
Like, so that it was kind of a wake up call where it was like, I say I travel, but I don't. So I'm going to make an effort to do a once a year thing. I'm curious about doing a solo trip. I've never really done some solo travel.
Oh, yeah.
Neither have I.
I'm trying to become a travel person.
I love that.
Yeah, that's great.
I went out, my family traveled a lot. We did a lot of travel growing up.
Me too.
Not me.
Not you.
Yeah. But I did really, that's the other thing. I got so into watching travel shows and like, especially when I was a poor boy in New York, I'd never been anywhere. So it's just like, now I'm an adult. I have agency. I have sometimes money I want to use that towards travel.
I feel like it's, aside from like taking care of your health, like one of the best things you can spend your money on that adds quality to your life.
Yeah.
That's true though. I did have to pair a lot of my travel with what going to weddings for my 20s, like my mid 20s. Yeah. And now it's like, now I can just choose wherever I want to go.
Yeah.
Is there,
do you have anything coming up? Anything you want to plug? Where can people find you?
Just like, no.
That's okay.
You can check out my Instagram for, you know, new loaves of bread I'm making.
Hell yeah.
I'll probably need to take some photos hanging out with my high school friends in the mountains this week.
Sweet.
What are you making for your high, for your meal? Or are you making
don't know yet. We're gonna talk about it on the drive up. Because we do a gigantic grocery store run at the base of the mountain before we like get up into a place where there are no places to
shop.
What
mountain? Is it the Appalachian?
Appalachian Mountains. In a teeny little community called Celo. The closest, it's like an hour from Asheville. It's not really near.
Is it somebody's house or Airbnb? It's,
my great-grandfather built this cabin.
Whoa.
And it's quite rustic.
It's still in your family?
Yeah. But at this point, it's like, you know, there are 32 descendants that all sort of use it. So I think I might technically own a 32nd of it. There's talk of consolidating... Before we all hate each other. Yes.
Wow.
That's awesome. Are you still so jealous?
To go there.
I'm extremely jealous. Yeah. I have a place, and I think I'm going there in October. Mm-hmm. I found a way to work another trip in, but at least once a year, even since living out here, and sometimes twice a year, definitely twice when I lived in New York, I'd go to the same cabin in the Catskills and rent it from the same lady. And I've done it for like 7 years now. So I feel, even though I have absolutely no ownership of it, it's like, oh, that's the cabin I go to.
Yeah.
And you love a cabin. You love the woods.
Love a cabin.
She's got a bunch of land. She's got a beautiful cabin.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a perfect hangout spot. And like, honestly, that's like the place when I'm daydreaming about being relaxed, it's my height of place. Relaxation.
Really?
I have the same height. If I ever have to do that, I have a spot I picture at this cabin.
It's some like combination of like who I've gone with and like familiarity and like what I get to do there, which is all this like outdoorsy stuff, and especially outdoorsy like East Coast outdoorsy, which is very different from Southern California outdoorsy. I get to do all that stuff over like one weekend of like in the past, drunken, still somewhat drunken fun.
Yeah, that's so funny because all of my memories of the woods as a kid are like being outside in the summer in like the dry New Mexico wilderness. Nah. I just remember the smell of like ponderosa pine bark and being hot and there being bugs. So like the woods is not my happy place at all.
Oh, it's very much.
For me, it's like the beach. Like I love the beach. I love the scent, like being near the water.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough because I would... just go to cabins for the rest of my life. I can't do that, but I would.
No, you can't.
Someday, check out this cabin.
I want to check out this cabin.
I'll tell you.
You got
to
get it.
Post-podcast, I'll tell you all about it.
Okay, but I also would love, what a dream to build a cabin by your like with your own two hands and then your like extended generations keep using it. It's such a beautiful, lovely thing. I would say like one of
our pipe dreams for this podcast would be that we earned enough money somehow that we could build an A-frame, like maybe up by Big Bear or something.
I'm a big A-frame
fan. Take me
fan.
There, A-frame, and people could rent it out.
Yes. Yeah, that would be crazy. Cool.
Advertisers, help us out.
Yeah.
Any
A-frame
Chase
builders?
Chase Sapphire, Chase Sapphire,
preferring an Aer Lingus.
You want to get up on this?
Yeah. So this has been great.
Yeah, this
Do you have
awesome.
Any other, I guess, like...
Travel tips, travel gear that you like? It's okay.
You don't have to. We really put you on the spot.
Yeah, we really did.
Do I have any...
Well, you're a big treat yourself at the airport, man.
Yeah.
Here's what I'll say. Here are my tips and tricks, and I might have done them
you
before.
You need fewer pants than you think you do.
That's hot. That's a great tip.
We're going to, I think we'll end on that.
Yeah.
Don't bring too many pants. Amos, thank you so much for being on the show. people will post links to everything Amos talked about.
We're going
to
get them.
And we'll check him out. I think your Instagram's just your name,
right?
Yeah,
it's Amos Vernon.
Okay. Yep. Check him out on Instagram.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.